Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our lead story exposes a harrowing incident involving Verizon. In a shocking breach of trust and protocol, Verizon handed over a customer's new address and phone number to a stalker, all based on a fake search warrant. This not only puts a spotlight on Verizon's protocols, but also raises critical questions about the broader privacy practices in the telecom industry and the oversight of law enforcement. That and many more stories tonight. You're listening to Geek News Central, episode 1710, coming to this Monday, December 11th. I'm your host, Todd Cochran. A big shout out to our primary sponsor at GoDaddy. Powering our geekly ventures, grab their jaw-dropping deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And hey, to all our awesome listeners, you're the real MVPs. Back us up at geeknewscentral.com/insider by becoming a GNC insider. Are you feeling the buzz? Well, we are live and lit with those fresh modern apps from podcastapps.com. Join our value for value movement just by hopping onto a fresh podcast app. To all our amazing listeners out there, a big virtual hug. Dive into our digital hub, of course, at geeknewscentral.com. Get on board. Don't forget to follow and subscribe via your favorite podcast app. That's always the easiest thing to do to stay abreast of the show. You can always slide into our chat room at geeknews.chat. We've got that social interaction going on, again, at geeknews.chat. Have feedback? Ping me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or at geeknews on X, or find me lounging over on Facebook. Don't forget to check out our partner shows, all linked to geeknewscentral.com, and a massive salute to GoDaddy, the longest running continuous sponsor of podcasts, where savings begin here. Lock in those savings today. Get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, get the best savings starting today. A penny for a brand new domain name. A penny for a brand new domain name. Now, we have rumors there is going to be a change. There is going to be a change. The $2.99 a month a managed WordPress hosting may be headed for better days. But I think there's a little bit time left. $2.99 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1.99 a month economy hosting the first year with a free domain. You can get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business to business plus plans. Again, get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, all available. Again, via my promo code, thegeeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So here's the skinny. I got a big, big upload going on right now while we're live. 15 hours of data being uploaded for a contract that I was able to score. I'll go into more details about that later, but I'm uploading over 340 gigabytes of data and 15 hours left. We'll see if the stream stays up tonight and stays smooth. If it gets choppy, I apologize in advance. But hey, again, on that GoDaddy deal, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Thank you for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, so first up, I want to congratulate Kirk. Kirk has retired from his job. I think I can now safely say he used to work for Verizon, which is kind of ironic. That is, you know, the opening story tonight. But Kirk had a job at Verizon for 25 years doing collections. He was the guy that people talked to, or he talked to, when their bill was overdue. And I'm sure he could probably write a book on all of the stories that he's heard over the years. I know that his mental health is in a much better state. At least I'm assuming so, from not having to talk to customers all day about their bill. And I want to congratulate him. He's got a new job as a producer for Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Philly. So it's a part-time job, but congratulations to Kirk on his retirement from Verizon and his new gig at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Philly. Now, any of you are looking for any production help, Kirk is the man, and I'm sure he could use some additional support and help. I believe his email address here at Geekness Central is pa@geeknesscentral.com. I believe is his email address. I'll get his actual one from him, is one that he checks on a daily basis. And if you've got some work for him, let him know. And again, congratulations, Kirk, on this new phase in your life. And he's got to work for a while yet. He's in his 50s. And he'll be joining all of us at CES again for our annual pilgrimage to Las Vegas. And that is definitely going down. I think I leave for Vegas on the 5th of January. And I believe that's the date. And then I arrive back the Friday, I believe. Let me look here. I believe I leave on the 5th, yes. And I get back, I think, on the 12th. So be out in Vegas for the consumer, the CES show. It's not the Consumer Electronics Show anymore. It's the CES show. So old habits die hard. Yes, back in the studio. Glad to be back. Fighting a horrible case of heartburn today. Oh my God. It's been a Tums sort of day. I don't know why, to be kind of frank with you, but yeah, sometimes it goes like that. All right, so let's get into the stack of stuff. Obviously, this lead article about Verizon accepting a fake search warrant and gave out customers' new address and phone numbers pretty bad. And this misstep is detailed in an FBI affidavit. The document, according to 404 Media, identifies Robert Michael Glauner as a stalker. He reportedly met his victim, identified as MGD Online. The two engaged in a short web-based romantic relationship before MGD ended things in August or September. This individual allegedly spent the next several weeks trying to contact him, as well as MGD's parents and workplace. MG changed her phone number 4 times, but this individual somehow found her new contact each time except for the last. That's when he reportedly initiated his fake search warrant to Verizon security assistant team. He posed as a detective working on a homicide impersonation case. And then on October 5th, VSAT handed Glauner MGD's phone number, phone records, home address, and text, in which he threatened suicide and personal harm against MGDT. Then he drove from New Mexico to North Carolina, where MGD reportedly resides, and drove to the victim's home with a black folding razor blade knife, methamphetamines, and rope. By then, law enforcement had been made aware of his concerning behavior and stationed officers outside of the victim's home, where they apprehended him and took him into custody. The police or the FBI says it doesn't take an intimate knowledge of law enforcement to spot the warning signs all over the warrant. Not only did he send it from a private email address, but the email itself was sloppy. So, but again, Verizon is in trouble here and should have rejected this warrant. And, This is bad news. A lot of people change their phone numbers to try to get away from people that are trying to cause them harm. Our digital identity is wrapped up significantly in, you know, in these types of accounts, all of our information on where we live, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, is the stream actually working? Let's look. Am I working good? Oh, might not be working so good today. Yeah, I guess we're still online. Yeah, it's not happy. I'm using a lot of bandwidth uploading the media I've got going on. My apologies to anyone watching live. Space station crew proves missing tomato wasn't eaten by an astronaut. When Frank Rubio, a NASA astronaut, Expedition 68 flight engineer, stood accused of losing or eating a crucial component of a space agriculture study, defied logic on so many levels. But he basically had been jokingly accused of eating it. But after his return in September 2023 with the tomato assumedly gone forever, the good ribbing continued. Well, guess what? They found it. It'd been put in a plastic bag. They don't say where they found it, but on December 6th, the 25th commemoration of the space station, the tomatoes finally reappeared. They didn't take a picture of it. There's no word yet on whether it shriveled or a squishy blob or even if where it finally showed itself. The tomatoes' fellow clan members, which were cultivated using soilless hydroponic and aeroponic techniques, are part of the Veg5 study and mission enabling salvaging agriculture production in space. And so anyway, the tomato sphere, I guess they found the tomato. So good news on that part. Moving on, the EU and their AI Act, they're saying, trust us, says EU. Our AI Act will make an AI trustworthy by banning the nasty ones. So the EU Act is the first ever comprehensive legal framework on artificial intelligence. According to the spokesperson, the agreement focuses on identifiable risk, thereby creating legal certainty for the industry. The commission's description of the act outlines a tiered risk management system. The majority of AI systems fit within minimal risk category and the classification used for auto recommendation systems, spam filters, and the like. Participants in AI codes of conduct for providers of such services will be voluntary. But AI systems deemed high risk, such as those related to critical infrastructure, education, access assessment, law enforcement, biometric definition, will be subjected to stricter requirements. Anything presenting a clear threat to fundamental rights falls in the unacceptable tier and is not permitted. AIs in this category include predictive policing, workplace emotional recognition systems, manipulation of human behavior, circumvent free will, are categorizing people based on qualities, including political, religious persuasion, race, or sexual orientation. The act will also require labels of deep fakes and AI-generated content, while chatbot users must be made aware they are conversing with a machine. Meanwhile, foundational models used in AI that require training upwards of 10 to the 25th power will face additional regulation in 12 months' time. And, of course, there are fines. Being afoul of the act are anywhere from 1.5% of their global turnover or 8 million to 7% or 37.7 million, depending on the violation and developer's capacity. So I'm sure when people read this, they're going to be very, very excited about what is going to be allowed and what isn't. At the same time, back here in the United States, the FTC wants Microsoft's relation with OpenAI under the microscope. Microsoft's OpenAI headaches may not go away following now that the Federal Trade Commission is considering investigation into the Windows giant's investment in the company. Microsoft's chief communication officer underlines attempts to dampen down industry talk of a probe. He says, while details of our agreement remain confidential, it is important to note that Microsoft does not own any portion of OpenAI and is simply entitled to share of profit distributions. We know that Microsoft has invested upwards of $10 billion, mostly in computing power, to train their models. And of course, to see a return, Microsoft is shoehorning ChatGPT in every corner of its portfolio. And we know that the debacle over OpenAI has rattled Microsoft. As such, Windows vendors parachuted a non-voting observer into OpenAI's board. At the end of last week, UK's Competition Markets Authority launched a consultation to ask interested parties to comment on Microsoft's relationship with the ChatGPT developer. FTC has already begun investigating OpenAI's ChatGPT over privacy and reputational concerns. So this is ongoing along with their look at Microsoft's $69 billion buy of Blizzard. So we will see where this all leads. YouTube creators will now have a way to chill the comment system. In other words, they're going to be able to pause. YouTube introduced a new pause feature, allowing creators to halt new comments while keeping existing ones in place. The pause option is accessible in the comment settings of the YouTube app, watch page in the YouTube studio on desktop and mobile. The updates include a renaming of settings, but the core functionality remains unchanged. So they can pause comments. Is it only when they're live or when they've been posted? So very, very interesting move by YouTube. Volkswagen and Renault could be teaming up to make one of the cheapest electric vehicles so far. They're looking to put a vehicle on the road between $17,000 US when it $17,000 US to $21,500 US or under 20,000 euros when it goes on sale in Europe. So that's a pretty aggressive price. At the event, Di Leo announced the return of the Twingo badge, which would signify Renault's entry into affordable small EV space. Again, around 20,000 euros. So time will tell. And this is just for a little itty bitty two-door vehicle, potentially is what it will look like, maybe even a four-door version as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this on the offering front. A 12 billion year-old body of water has been discovered floating in space. So this mass of water vapor, is at least 140 trillion times more than all of the water in the world's oceans combined. But it's 30 billion trillion miles away. It's taken light nearly 12 billion years to reach Earth, with an observation by a team revealing a time where the universe was just 1.6 billion years old. The environment around the quasar is unique in that it's producing this huge mass of water vapor. So anyway, I have the full story in the show notes. It has often been said that the universe is full of water. This probably proves and enhances it quite a bit. If you have a phone that supports 5G, well, a lot of them have a security flaw. More than 700 smartphones powered by Qualcomm and MediaTek hardware might be affected. And these are some significant bugs. And even though Qualcomm has already and MediaTek have issued a patch, it may be until 2024 before you see them on iPhone and or Android. Not a lot you can do about this, but these vulnerabilities are 14 in total that have been reported. And threat actors can use the vulnerability to deceive a 5G-enabled device to connect to a rogue base station. In other words, a rogue repeater basically acting as a 5G base station. So not good. Ferdinand, hello. Thanks for saying hello in the chat today. Appreciate it. There's a good article over on TechWriter talking about Russia's cyber warfare tactics. So it's in for the long haul. And we know that the Ukraine war is approaching its second anniversary, and Russia shows no signs of slowing its grueling offensive, both on land and in cyberspace. Russia's been committed to winning propaganda wars at home and on the internet. And they've used some fairly intuitive means, including cameo videos from Elijah Wood and others. Basically, they've been really going after civilians as well. And it's just amount of quantity of cyber warfare tactics employed. It's quantity over quality to try to change the narrative. Good article from Tech Radar. Well, this is sad. Kentucky healthcare organization Norton Healthcare is informing about 2.5 million individuals that their personal information was compromised. The incident was identified on May 9th, 2023. Why is it taking so long for this to make the center stage? I don't know. Louisville-based Norton Healthcare, which runs 140 locations in greater Louisville and southern Indiana, said determined attackers exfiltrated files containing the personal information of current and former patients and employees. In some instances, the database includes driver's license numbers, government IDs, financial account numbers, digital signatures, and records. So they did not pay the ransom. But the question is, why wasn't all this healthcare stuff encrypted? That's the question that I really want answered. Why wasn't it encrypted? That's one for the books, really, to be asked. Wi-Fi 7 is nearly here. 2024 could be the year wireless speeds get turbocharged. Well, considering Wi-Fi 6 hasn't been employed very much, the new Wi-Fi standard will be finalized quarter one with more devices supporting, no doubt, incoming. So, you know, 802.11BE will become a concrete standard by the end of quarter one next year. How much faster is it from, is Wi-Fi 7? Well, it offers speeds up to 40 gigs and will be the best part of five times quicker than Wi-Fi 6. But it's going to be a while before you see any devices. But faster Wi-Fi speed. Tesla's autopilot system is coming under fire again for its safety record. A new report says autopilot being used where it isn't suitable. Despite court proceedings ruling in favor of Tesla's autopilot, the jury agreed that ultimate responsibility for Tesla's autopilot full self-driving beta technology rests with human behind the wheel. And of course, there was things that basically that said it's not supposed to do, but people keep doing it. And Tesla's not locked people out with geographic, basically being on a road that we're not supposed to be using these features, and people are still able to use it. According to research carried out by the Post, Tesla's acknowledged that auto steer, autopilot key features indeed for use on controlled access highways with a center divider, clear lane markings, and no cross traffic. But participants are unlikely to operate as intended. And there's no exclusion zones where it's automatically turned off. This is part of the problem. So, again, lots of discussions with the National Highway Transportation Safety Board. And people are really, really looking at this. And some Tesla employees have come out and said, hey, it's not ready for prime time. Meanwhile, the AV industry, not the audio video, the auto driving vehicle, the AV industry sends an SOS to Pete Buttigieg. The autonomous vehicle industry is in trouble. A coalition lobbying group sent Buttigieg a letter last week imploring to support AV development, a risk being outpaced by China. Subtext, of course, is the crisis facing GM subsidiary Cruise. The letter makes no mention of the situation with Cruise, instead focusing on the looming threat of competition from China. Signatories include AVIA, the Autonomous Vehicle Industry Association, which represents Cruise, Waymo, Zox, Motional, and others. Department support for AV development is crucial to maintain our national competitive edge, blah, blah, blah. So they're basically going into protection mode here. Time will tell how that goes. More controversy with Elon Musk. You know, he basically told advertisers to go beep themselves. And then Elon has unbanned conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and hosted an interview with him on X. He reinstated the X account of Alex Jones over the weekend, then welcomed the conspiracy-spreading radio host back to the platform by participating in a live interview with him. During the course of Musk's hour-and-a-half appearance on the call, Jones blamed his reputation as fabulous on the media and PR firms and praised Musk for allowing to return to X. Musk did ask him some stuff about the Sandy Hook shootings, wanting him to explain himself. Of course, you know, he lost a big lawsuit, $1 billion in fines. And, but it's interesting that Elon at this point, and I'm going to kind of side with Elon a little bit in saying that freedom of speech, we've said that on this show a lot. This country supports freedom of speech. Its companies allowed to allow people to invoke freedom of speech on their platforms, but freedom of speech does not absolve you of essentially lawsuits and anything else that could come across from putting out misinformation, libeling people, etc. So, but I do find it interesting that he continues to allow people back on the platform that were banned. And in regards to him telling advertisers to go beep themselves, he basically, the advertiser said, you know, if, until you censor, we're not going to advertise. And I think that's an important thing to remember here. That's the point that Elon was trying to make. You want me to censor what people are having to say, and yet, at the same time, you're not going to put money on the platform until I do censor. So I think we all need to realize the bigger ramifications of censorship. Twitter, before, in its previous ownership, was basically the government's right-hand man in censoring content and silencing voices. So we can only have it one of two ways: put up with censorship or support platforms that are about open and free speech. I know many of you would disagree with me, but I don't personally care for Alex Jones, but I think he has the right to say what he wants to say. And obviously he said some stuff that got him into a libel lawsuit. And he, you know, he's got $1 billion to pay. Now, whether or not he'll ever be able to pay it, I don't know. But at the same time, you can say stuff, but you're responsible for what you say, right? And I think that's important to be allowed. I think we're all big kids and we can determine stuff on our own. Moving on here, Amazon's having a huge holiday sale for one of the busiest shopping days of the year. It's Green Monday. And Amazon is discounting best-selling gift ideas. So, of course, Green Monday, I think, is going to be over by the time you all listen to the show. But I think you'll be able to find deals wherever you look, really. I think people are not spending as much this holiday period. I think that the sales will continue. Google insists it's resolved Drive data loss issues despite user reports to the contrary. Google says it's done investigating a case of the missing Google Drive files, which has plagued select users. Cloud data for almost 3 weeks. Though this sounds promising, users are reporting Google's solution to the issue doesn't work. Worse, Google appears to be snuffing out everyone's demands for an effective fix. So this is pretty bad. And they had, I guess some of these were not able to be fixed. Google Drive Help Center posted company advises customers launch the Drive desktop app. Click Recover from Backups under Settings to see if a recovery process starts. If this strategy works, users' files will be found under a new Google Drive recovery folder. If it doesn't work, users can try an advanced fix with the desktop app command line. Here users must enter one of three commands which are meant to recover files from account backups. Drive output path or desktop app data path. If files are recovered, they'll end up in the app logs folder under recovery.txt. If that doesn't work, users encourage to restore their files using a Windows or Mac OS Time Machine backup. But again, most folks that have documents on those cloud services do not have the actual data backed up. So, Google employees have stopped replying to related threads and even locked some to prevent further commenting. Some lost part of their master thesis, missing their data, but they don't even have the comfort knowing that Google is on their side. For now, it appears Google's more interested in conducting damage control than resolving a trust-destroying bug. So, always back up your data, even if it's in the cloud, ladies and gentlemen. FTC sounds alarm over dangerous QR codes used by scammers. Be careful on what you're clicking on or taking, you know, acting on. People are putting fake QR codes on a whole variety of things. They're putting them on parking payment meters. And then basically you're paying someone that isn't supposed to get your money and you may get a ticket. These are pretty elaborate right now. So be careful. Make sure that you're looking at an original QR code, not something that's been sticked on top. Or if they post a website on stuff, go to the website directly. Just be careful of QR codes that are out there, especially ones that are in public areas. 23andMe, they're in damage control. They respond to breach with new suit limiting user terms. So basically, in an update Tuesday to a blog post sharing details of the attack, 23andMe said the breach first recovered was enabled by credential stuffing, through which an attacker uses username and password combinations from other breaches to try breaking into related accounts. Data stolen returns has been confirmed to come from DNA relatives. Profiles indicate how folks may be related, of which 5.5 million sets of data was stolen. Data swiped the breach includes names, ancestry information, self-reported location, birth years, links to family trees, anything that might have been included in self-descriptions added to users' profiles. But a side-by-side comparison of 23andMe's new terms of service dated November 30th and its previous from October teased out a new dispute resolution period of 60 days during which aggrieved customers agreed to first attempt to negotiate any dispute informally before either party initiates any arbitration or court proceedings. You have to opt out if you don't agree to these changes. Determine the email within 30 days of being notified of the change. So just be aware. If your data was stolen for 23andMe, you may involuntarily agree to new terms of services if you don't act within 30 days. Now, I don't know what happens if you didn't decline the new terms of service. That wasn't laid out. Another FTC article. Amazon practices are the essence of competition, it tells a judge. I'll read that again. Amazon's practices are the essence of competition. Amazon is asking a judge to dismiss the antitrust case filed by the FTC in 17 states, arguing the case fails to allege any anti-competitive conduct or harm. According to the motion to dismiss, The practices the FTC singled out in the September lawsuit are far from anti-competitive. They're actually the essence of competition and useful to consumers who shop online. The FTC and attorney generals from 17 states allege in the original lawsuit that Amazon used several tactics to thwart competition, such as using algorithms to undercut competing online retailers. Amazon was also accused of forcing third-party sellers on Amazon to use the online Souq's own fulfillment service in order to qualify for free shipping. Rather than directly refuting these claims, as freshly filed motion, Amazon says the FTC complaint does not identify a single product or product category which prices have risen as a result of the challenged conduct. Interesting tactic that Amazon is taking on. For those of you who may have heard about this, Beeper Mini has restored its iMessage app for Android and makes it free, but will it last? Well, there was a hole, and Apple closed the hole, and the app became ineffective. But they put a new app out. It quickly racked up over 100,000 downloads. Before they closed the hole, it racked up 100,000 downloads. Apple confirmed Saturday night they closed the loophole, and Beeper Mini was dead. Again, it was an iMessage app for Android. This afternoon, Beeper Mini is back, thanks to a new app update, which does restore services. The update currently requires a sideloading, as it's still being reviewed by the Play Store, removes phone number support, and leaves users to continue with iMessage via their Apple ID. No Apple ID sign-ins and using the phone number on your Android phone, but it's impressive to see it's working at all nonetheless. So Beeper Mini, keep an eye on that one if you want to do iMessage on your Android. Meanwhile, TikTok becomes the first non-game mobile app to generate $10 billion in consumer spending. The short video social phenomenon has added nearly $4 billion this year alone. It's all from virtual coins used to purchase gifts for the platform's content creators. Wow. That's amazing. So, by surpassing the $10 billion gross revenue milestone, TikTok has become one of just 5 mobile apps to done so, and the first that wasn't a mobile game. Sits top the market alongside mobile giants Candy Crush from King Activision Blizzard for the all-time top earner at $12 billion. Honor of Kings from Tencent, Monster Strike from XFLAG, and Clash of Clans from Supercell. So, that's an amazing, amazing numbers. And all the spending TikTok coins, various sums that comprise the app's numerous one-time in-app purchases, as it doesn't offer subscription. The app users spend those coins on virtual gifts for content creators on the platform who can then trade them for virtual diamonds and convert them into fiat currency. TikTok remains 50% of the payout amount. TikTok's most popular IAP in 23 has been a spend of 1,321 coins for $19.99, and it makes a quarter of its revenue. Digital coins. He made that much money just on people donating to other creators. Google's top search trends for 2023, search trends. Well, it also, it was always about news, movies, shows, games, music. But one of those is top trending how often. The top one was, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? Why would people be looking for that? How often is the World Baseball Classic? How often is a blue moon? How often is a World Cup? How often do trains derail? How often is Friday the 13th? These are some of the top search results of 2023. Curious, I would say the least. NASA has pushed back the timing of the International Space Station deorbit vehicle contract. NASA has tweaked the contract and shuffled the dates for its procurement notice. While the agency probably have carefully considered and planned how disposal would happen more than a quarter century ago, when construction began, NASA only put out a request for proposals for a deorbit vehicle in September 2023. So now they hope for a delivery date of August 1, 2028, with a launch to occur December 1st, 2028. Required delivery is May 1, 2029, with a launch of September 1, 2029. That's if they don't continue to support the station. They just also add the option for both the development and production of a vehicle under a cost-plus contract. While the agency is not given a reason for the change, they say the revision maximized value to the government by allowing flexibility in proposing contract types. As such, the arrival of USD orbit vehicle at the end of 2029 will be just in the nick of time for a 2030 deorbit. There's an interesting article about, and this is what intrigued me. It says, want to hear the wonders of deep space? This music is made from NASA's telescope data. And I thought, wow, I want to hear this. And what it is an orchestra that is basically a composition played up on seven instruments. And each thing in the composition, which is kind of unremarkable when I listen to it, is certain that they basically have a cross definition. Data from a deep space telescope starts out as ones and zeros before being analyzed and compiled into tables of information. Those data include things like the amount of energy, location of photons, particles of light hitting the telescope. NASA experimented with creating simple audio representations before with a data sonification product called the Universe of Sound. And they were asked to turn those soundscapes into sheet music so they'd be easily available for musicians. It's a little weird. And both of the renditions are available in the link in the show notes from cbc.ca. An astronaut has celebrated Hanukkah with a zero-gravity dreidel spin. Jasmine Moghveli finds creative ways to mark the Jewish Festival of Lights while aboard the International Space Station. Obviously, you cannot light a candle on the ISS, so it's a felt candle that's being lit. And so it's kind of cool. Little, for those of you of the Jewish faith, this should be interesting for you to look at. And there's a video on it, and the link will be in the show notes. Jury begins to weigh evidence in Google antitrust trial focused on Android App Store payments. So, again, they began their deliberations before the nine-person jury in San Francisco started to weigh the evidence laid out during the four-week trial. Lawyers on opposing sides of the legal battle spent out 2 hours making their closing arguments. In the filed by Epic Games, the maker of the popular Fortnite video game. Epic lawyer Gary Bornstein depicted Google as a ruthless bully that plays a bribe and block strategy to discourage competition against its Play Store for Android apps. Google lawyer Jonathan Kravis attacked Epic as a self-interested game maker trying to use the courts to save itself money while undermining an ecosystem to spawn billions of Android smartphones that compete against Apple and its iPhone. So we'll see where this one goes. We'll see where the jury comes out. MacBook Air M3 could launch in March, but there's bad news for desktop Mac users. A new leak has claimed that 13 and 15-inch models of the MacBook Air will be launching in March of 2024. Unfortunately for Apple's more professional user base, Gurman also believes the Mac Pro and Mac Studio desktop computers won't likely see an M3 grade until later in 2024 at the very earliest, with a 2025 release likely. And this guy's predictions have proven correct in the past. There's a good article over on the Medium talking about the leading AI chatbots of 2024, talking about Bing, Bard, Meta Llama 2, Pi, Po, Perplexity, and Persona AI. So anyway, good write-up on this, and also information about Grok 1, a new chat GPT for X, formerly Twitter premium users. So Anyway, you can definitely check these two articles out about AI developments. Still dealing with a major amount of jet lag, folks. This one kicked my butt coming home. So I'm hanging on by a thread here tonight, but I want to thank all of you very much for being here. Thank you very much for being part of the family. Thank you for dealing with my crazy schedule. We're on schedule all the way through Christmas and New Year's. Doesn't look like the show will be affected. Maybe, well, there'll be Christmas is on a Monday and New Year's is on a Monday this year. So definitely no show those 2 days, but otherwise we'll have shows all the way up to my departure for CES. Be with you for that. But hey, everyone, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget that we've been lit and live and that you can boost this show from a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. Definitely check out the Fountain app. I love that app a lot. Definitely give it a try. See if you like it. I'm sure you will get involved in this new evolution of podcasting apps and get yourself a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. Again, I'm geeknews@gmail.com, @geeknewsonx. We'll see you next time. Thanks for being here. Take care. And we'll be back with you Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.